get ready for Malice, a twisted new drama starring Jack Whitehall, David Duchovny, and Carice Van Houten. Jack Whitehall plays Adam, a charming man who infiltrates the wealthy Tanner family with a hidden motive to destroy them. This edge-of-your-seat revenge thriller unravels a deliciously dark mystery in a world full of wealth, secrets, and betrayal. Malice will constantly keep you on your toes. Why is Adam after the Tanner family? What lengths will he go to? One thing's for sure, the past never stays buried, so keep your enemies close. Watch all episodes of Malice on November 14th, only on Prime Video.
What's up, everybody? It's your boy Giovanni Watson. Hold on. Oh, I'm going to put an extra on it because, once again, I'm in the driver's seat, man. Melissa Ford, our beautiful queen. She's still recovering. We love you so much. We miss you, Melissa. So we're going to hold it down for you. And Jason, I don't know where Jason is. And apparently, I don't give a damn. All right. Anyway, I'm going to introduce my two beautiful guest co-hosts, man. Starting to my immediate front, my beautiful friend, Nastasia, what's up? And my boy.
Damn.
My boy.
One time.
Conglomerate. Can I still say that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Conglomerate in the building, uh-huh. J-Doe.
Wow, what do you know about this awesome?
Hey, man. I want to thank you guys so much for coming out, man. I called you guys last minute, and you guys showed up, and you showed out. And Nastasia, you looking good.
Thank you.
As you should.
So. I don't know what that pajama onesie race suit is.
I love it.
But
like
I love it.
It's like a costume Halloween, like.
What's going on with you, girl? I mean, people don't know, Nastasia was on this show called Love and Hip Hop, Hollywood. And she was short-lived on there, but it was for her own reasons. And, you know, I'll just get right to the cooking. Was you the side chick?
No, I was not the side chick.
Really? Because a lot of people thought you were the side chick.
No.
So, go ahead.
Marcus and I, we dated 5 years ago, and we started dating again later on, like, last year around this time, and we were talking, and then he was doing the show, so he asked me, you want to film the show with me, like, we're dating. I'm like, okay, fine. So then I thought that I could be pregnant, so while we were filming, they were like, you guys can talk about that on the show. And I was like,
damn, okay. You let him shoot your club up?
No, it was a mistake. We definitely used protection, but it just, it was a slip up.
Oh, well, okay.
Because a lot of people were bashing me about that too. They were like, oh, you're having unprotected sex.
Hey,
everybody, I just had unprotected sex last night.
Yeah, like.
No, I'm playing. I'm just joking.
he is not joking. He is
yeah,
not
I don't
joking.
Think he's joking.
No, I'm playing. So, what happened with that relationship? Why do you feel like it started to crumble?
Well, while we were shooting, here comes Brooke. She's coming, and she's coming hard. And I was kind of confused. Like, a lot of the scenes, like, I looked so confused because I was just blown away. Like, I didn't know. When we get to scene, we don't know what's going on. We just get there, and then whatever happens, happens on scene. So I was just so confused. And he was telling me that it was nothing between them. She threw out, like, she had an engagement ring that she stole from him, which was pretty thirsty. And, like, I don't know. It was just too much. And every time I was shooting the scenes, she was on the scenes. And I just got tired of it. And I was just like, you know what? Y'all can have each other because this is stupid. Like, I'm not fighting over somebody.
So,
like,
you broke up with him?
Yeah, basically.
And after you broke up with him on camera, did he smash still after the show was over? That's all I want to know.
A little bit.
Let's be real.
A little bit. He got a couple in.
No, right, what do you mean a little bit?
Because your response was laugh first. Like,
no.
Did smash after?
Yeah.
We were still talking after, I will admit that. Actually, Brooke called me after the show was. I mean, you know, we filmed a few months in advance.
Yeah.
So after the show aired, she called me. So we were still cool, but it wasn't nothing like that. And she asked, like, what is our relationship or what's our friendship? And I told her, I was like, he's just my friend. Like, we've known each other for so long, we still have that friendship. But of course, a guy is gonna be a guy at the end of the day. And I told her basically that, I mean, I didn't want to tell her too much because he is my friend. So I didn't tell her everything, but I mean, if I wanted to talk to him still, I would have been talking to him still.
Damn.
But, so are they still together? What's going on with them?
I don't know.
You don't know? So you don't talk to him no more? You don't talk to her?
No.
Look,
I blocked him on everything. I was like, I'm cool. Damn. Like, we had actually went down to Atlanta, and when she called me, she talked about the Atlanta situation. And basically, I was in Atlanta first. He came down there to host the party. Mm-hmm. So I ended up seeing him there. I guess
did y'all smash?
No, we did not smash. But he was trying to get me to stay at the same hotel as him.
Because that was a definite smash.
He was trying to get me to get my own room, but I think that was just cap. Like, I think he really wanted me to stay.
Well, listen, man, we got to stop fighting each other over these niggas and women that ain't our husband or wife.
No, I wasn't fighting.
Well, I mean, I beefing, like, cool. Because it seemed like, you know, Brooke is a dope young lady. I love Brooke's. And I love you. I mean, and y'all both are dope people. Like, so at the end of the day, if it's over somebody that's not even in the picture for either one of y'all now, y'all done just had a failed attempted friendship.
Right.
You know?
Marcus is definitely in the picture for Brooke, though. I ain't going for it.
What you say in the picture?
For Brooke?
Yeah.
Her picture don't end.
What do you mean by that?
Meaning Marcus can walk into whatever other picture he wants to, but Brooke picture is still going to remain. So you got.
And I ain't that type of girl.
Picture.
I'm out.
So they're basically saying, like, she's going to always be around.
Oh, yeah, Marcus.
And I'm not that type of girl.
At least from my vision.
I don't have a hard time.
Well, so you done with the show. You done with Marcus.
Yeah.
Are you done with reality TV? Was that a taste for you that's like, I can't do this shit?
I would do reality TV, probably in a different light. I don't think I would do Love and Hip Hop.
Like, what do you mean a different, like a dating show? For the love of Stassi.
That might be fun.
That would be fun.
Yeah.
A black bachelor. They got that, right? Black bachelorette.
They had it.
They had it. Didn't do good. You know, our shit don't last. Yeah. Anyway, Jay.
Oh my God. Well,
damn. Man, what's up with you, man? Tell the people. A lot of people don't know this man. Right? I've been knowing for a very, 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 very long time.
Yeah, man.
He's one of the dopest lyricists, rappers, artists in my eyes. He's written for a shit ton of people. And just tell him, man.
So,
talk to him.
I started with artistry. First, and then I wrote my first song that ended up getting placed like a couple months later. I wrote this song called Damage for Danity Kane.
I can't believe you wrote that.
That was crazy, right?
I can't believe it.
Next thing you know, after that got placed, I started seeing how lucrative songwriting can be. So I just really dove into songwriting.
Mm-hmm.
And I was doing that for like 5 years straight. And then I kind of stepped back out of that a little bit and started doing more artistry stuff. So now I'm juggling both, and it's been a good time. And then, outside of that, I'm a self-proclaimed relationship therapist. You know, so Dr. Trill is available in here today.
Hey, you prepared? Dr. Trill, people that be giving like the advice and like coaching and all that shit, relationship, be having the most fucked up relationships.
Well,
themselves.
See, here's the thing. You know why? I'm gonna tell you.
That's why we give advice.
No, because. The person that's giving the coaching has to have had the most fucked up relationships to get the knowledge, to have the experience to even tell you anything. If that person that's trying to tell you anything and they like, oh, I've been married since the day I graduated high school. You're like, how the fuck can you tell me what it feel like to break up with somebody and that you've been with for 3 years and you're going through the breakup now at 31 years old? How you don't know. Yeah. You've been in love since the day you realize you can find enough.
Uh-huh.
So the person that is essentially going to give you any type of decent, I won't say advice because I don't give advice, but like something that can speak towards your relationship has been through most of that shit.
No, that's true.
That's why most people that do this.
How old are you, Jada?
I'm 34.
You 34, Stas?
Really?
Yep.
I know you can't ask a woman her
no.
age.
No. Yeah, you don't ever ask a woman her age.
You know what? If you don't get out with that old slave grunge tail.
I'm not saying it.
Look, that shit was cool back when my but now, look, nowadays niggas is catching cases.
Yeah.
But I had a woman tell me, she said, I told her my age because someone else asked me and she overheard. She was like, don't ever, ever tell your real age because you don't look a day.
No, that's true. Like, you don't look old. So. Also, because when she said her and Marcus was dating like 10 years ago.
No,
so, 5 years ago. I was like, 5 years ago? Man, was you out of high school yet?
Jesus Christ. J-Do,
no,
man.
I know. And it was definitely way after high school.
You fell to rim. You just was on TRL, bro.
Oh, yeah. I was on
TRL.
That was
TRL.
Huge.
That was the whole conglomerate.
So, yeah, we was all on TRL, and I felt like I needed to do a little something different. So I, you know, brought out my little piano and started rapping and playing my piano, which was interesting because people actually rock with that.
I didn't know you played the piano.
Yeah, so it was a thing. So I'm gonna do a little something, dive into that a little more, do my little John Legend and mix with a...
That brother sounded like a ghost when he sang.
I'm gonna do it. Well, John Legend with the piano, and then I'll be doing my rapping thing. So I'm gonna blend something that hasn't really been...
tell the people who's on your roster though, because a lot of people hit me saying conglomerate, but they don't know who is in that.
Busta Rhymes.
So the conglomerate is Busta Rhymes, mm-hmm. Aaron Cooks, Murder Mook, Preya, and Trillian, and then myself. So
no OT no more?
Excuse me. I hate to say that I didn't mention OT first. I should have said OT first.
OT Genesis.
Respect to my brother OT. OT first.
Got you.
And then the rest of the numbers I just gave.
Got you.
So, you know, OT, yes, definitely.
Damn, man, how's that be? I want to be signed so bad to a record label. Or man, a family or something.
It's a headache, and it's a beautiful thing at the same time.
I can believe that, because you got to feel like, damn, it's okay. So do you feel like they focusing on one artist at a time?
That's
or like,
how they do it.
Damn.
And so you be like, if all three of us was on one label, they'd be like, you'd be like, damn, I got this crazy ass record, bro. Bro, hey, check this out. And they'd be like, yeah, but it starts your turn. So anyway, they're like, oh, that record is hot, my nigga. That shit pop. It would blow up right now if we put it out, but it starts your turn. So
that's so messed up, man.
But I mean, at the end of the day, they got to be, I guess that's the way they call it, fair. You know what I'm saying? It's when it's your turn, mm-hmm. it don't matter what, you know, somebody else brought. If Stassi brought the record of the year, this would be like, yeah, but it's Gio's turn. So
damn.
Just post Gio shit and rally behind.
That's always my turn.
Yeah, that's why a lot of people going in indie and just doing their own shit, because labels.
Like going overseas, you mean? You say Indian. What do you mean?
I said indie.
Oh, like, indie. Everybody's going Indian.
Yo, a lot of people going Indian is hilarious.
I'm going Indian.
Yo, you know what? I'm tired of this shit, bro. I'm going Indian on these hoes. Hey,
on some real shit. Now, y'all going to laugh at me when I say
I'm
this.
I'm already laughing at you.
Listen,
so
we talking about how, like, each artist is their turn, or you might not get the focus or the like. Right. But then I thought you said these niggas going indie. So right. I'm thinking, like, you talking about going overseas to blow up. Speaking of that, Razz B of B2K went to China for like 6 years and became a huge superstar.
As
that.
You should.
Came back with a crazy, crazy bag.
Yo.
And was like sending me videos of like people screaming and chasing him, bro. Big billboards on buildings. So damn. Niggas need to go Indian to blow up.
If I could go to, listen, bro, I'd be ready to move to China tomorrow if that's the case.
Yeah, man.
Let's go. Razz, you can manage me.
I know how to rap. So.
Not the Chris Stokes way, but you can manage me like regular.
Oh my God. Not the Chris Stokes way. You hilarious.
You can manage me like regular.
But Stassi, didn't you do, you don't do music or nothing?
No. I play with it, but.
What do you do?
What do I do? Well, social media influencer.
That's how long I've been knowing you since Vine days.
Vine, yeah. I have my clothing line.
You got a clothing line?
Yeah, Stassi Collection.
Is that what you got on right now?
No, but I do have my clothes.
Okay, so what kind of feel is the clothes? Like, how do they look?
They're like this. Like, titties out. It's the modern. Some stuff is like kind of cleavage, but. So funny.
Mm-hmm. Let them things swing.
Gazoingas.
Everybody want to know about it.
All right, y'all. So we is living today's society. I think we need to get a little bit more smarter on, you know, building for our future. You know, we can't always depend on our current job. You never know when you're going to lose it. Mm. So that's why you need to start saving up or trading up now. And that's what Robinhood will help you do. Robinhood is an investing app that lets you buy and sell stocks, ETFs, options, and cryptos all commission-free. Do you know about trading or investing like that?
I know about trading like basketball cards.
Well, Robinhood can't help you, but you never know. Shoot, they get on the market, they might be worth some value. You can get some money off of it.
Right.
All right. They strive to make financial services work for everyone, not just the wealthy. Like myself, okay?
Yeah.
Easy to understand charts and market data, place a trade in just four taps on your smartphone, okay? Robinhood web platform also lets you view stock collections, 100 most popular sectors like entertainment and social media, which social media is running the world right now, and curated categories like female CEOs and the analyst ratings of buy, hold, sell for every stock. Robinhood will help you understand everything I'm telling you to do right now. Listen, learn how to invest as you build your portfolio, discover new stocks and track favorite companies with personalized news feeds, custom notifications for price moving so you never miss the right moment to invest. And I think that's very, very important when you're trading, because it's all about timing, when to trade, mm-hmm. when to sell, when to buy. So Robinhood is giving listeners a free stock like Apple, Ford, or Sprint to help build your portfolio. Sign up at unlocked.robinhood.com. That's unlocked.robinhood.com. Let's get this money, okay? Let's do it. So, I don't know. Did you get a chance to watch the fight, J-Do?
What?
The Conor McGregor fight.
Of course.
I think that was one of the hottest tickets, man. Did you watch Stassi?
I was there.
Okay. Oh, you got a budget.
I was there. See, and I had good seats.
The bang.
Wait, who put you up in that fight?
Because you can't tell.
My friend. I went with a friend.
What's
Vegas.
His name?
Well, it's a friend, but he lives here. I met him in Vegas, and a lot of my other friends were there, and we were partying, so.
Damn, so was
he
was
like, come to the fight. I was like, all right, cool.
Was the experience, was it more amplified than watching on TV? Because I knew I was watching on TV, and I was pumped up.
No, it was crazy. I didn't even know. I'm going to be totally honest. I never seen a UFC fight, really. Uh-huh. Like, I've seen, like, clips or whatever. I watched it walking by the TV, but to actually sit there and watch it, it was blood flying everywhere, and they were beating each other. I'm thinking they're going to kill each other because it's just blood gushing and
so
going
Jay,
everywhere.
That fight was a personal fight, right?
Yeah, it was extremely personal.
Man.
Because of how, you know, Conor, I think Conor's shit talk is a part of his it's part of his ticket sale. And it's a part of his, like, you know, his show for the actual fight. But Khabib don't have that. He's just a fighter. He's just a regular fighter. So when Conor was talking all that shit, Khabib wasn't taking it as part of the shit talk. He was taking it like, oh, this motherfucker really trying to talk about my family and my country.
And religion.
Oh, we going at it. I can't wait to get in there.
I think they all got bad for him when Conor threw that thing through the bus and cut up a girl's face and
worse like over time, and I feel like that's why Conor lost. Like, he kept giving Khabib more
energy.
Yeah, like, he was just feeding his energy to be the one.
Did y'all see, they said he used to wrestle bears when he was little.
Yeah,
like,
I saw the video.
That's
oh just crazy.
I mean, how the you ain't listen, bro. Like, who train you? Bears, nigga. Bears. I wrestle these bears.
I got out here. Doc, if I let my son go outside with a bigger dog than him, he going to fall over and cry. So ain't no way he's wrestling. He ain't wrestling no bear.
Well, he made him tap out, which I feel like at that point, brother, you just going to have to choke me. I'm passing out. I'm not tapping out.
I'm tapping out.
I'm
and he goes, oh, God. Hey.
Nah, not me.
You see what just happened? Get this thing off me. I can't take this.
Well, after that victory, Khabib has challenged Floyd Mayweather.
It's wild and crazy.
That's crazy.
After beating the brakes off Conor McGregor, UFC lightweight champion, Khabib has now challenged boxing champion Floyd Mayweather to a fight. Khabib caught up with an exec at Mayweather Production in Russia, and he appeared to be jokingly hinting at wanting to fight between him and Floyd since they're both undefeated. He said, 50-0 versus 27-0, let's go in the jungle, only one king.
That's crazy. No.
See,
I don't think that's going to happen.
People be getting a little bit of glory, a little bit of victory, and all of a sudden you want to go for the throne. Listen,
bro.
It depends what type of fight you're talking about. You talking about a street fight, a boxing fight, or a UFC match. Look, if it's a UFC match with Floyd Mayweather and Khabib, we already know Floyd might get his ass handed to him.
Floyd going to lose.
You know what I'm saying? But if it's a boxing match, we already know how that's going to go.
Also, but Floyd is, 41 years old at this point?
Yeah.
Man, beating him at this point, even if Khabib won, beating him at 41 is going to be like somebody being like, all right,
who cares?
I mean, even with, you know,
it's like me beat Michael Jordan today.
Yeah, even
like this nigga 51.
Exactly.
I'm 40, I'm 65 years old.
Michael Jordan comes in like, with his jeans on, his pulled up to his nipples, like, all right, we ready. Boy, if you don't sit your.
I also think a lot of people say shit like that just to get a little bit more hype,
a little bit
more juice. That's like me saying, on this platform, yeah, man, shit, I want to challenge Floyd to a fight, man. I don't really. That's like me saying I want to take Crawford down or Javante Davis. I'm getting my ass whooped.
Leave them boys alone.
For $1 million, would you get in the ring with Tank?
Javante
Davis.
Absolutely. But see, here's the thing. What is the stipulations on the million? Is that, do I get to just get in the ring? Because I will take the dive.
You got to go head to head with this brother.
Okay, I'll get out there and take the dive.
No.
Let me say that nigga first punch didn't knock me out.
No, let me take that back. Forget Javante. That's my nigga. Mike Tyson.
Today Mike Tyson. I'd go for it.
Really?
Absolutely.
Have you watched that brother's highlights? I've seen Mike.
And I do not think that the training that he's gotten over his lifetime has left him. But I think I'm really nice.
What is he, like 55?
It don't matter.
He in his mid-late 50s.
I think I can be all right.
When was the last time you got in a fight, Stash? Like a fist fight. Did that unit come off?
The last time I got into a fight, I got into a fight actually a few blocks over. It was out here in Hollywood. I was leaving a club. I forget. What's that club right here on Hollywood Boulevard?
Project?
No, it was like Playhouse? Old, but it was on the side.
All of them.
I forget. It was like where Geisha House, like right around the corner.
Where they supper used to club? Hop on the couches and shit. Like
yeah,
the
and they had a little strip club for a second.
Supper club.
No, not supper club. It was down the street. Like, okay, whatever. Anyways, I was leaving the club, and this girl, she like was, I don't know, these guys were talking stuff about her. Oh, yeah, we can curse. Mm-hmm. They were talking shit about her, and I was laughing, and she was like, what are you laughing at? And I was like, you, and I was drinking,
lack of courage.
She came over there, and she tried to, like, hit me with her purse, and I just, like, rushed her and just started beating her up, and damn. They were calling me Street Fighter. I went to Kitchen 24 after. They were like, yo, Street Fighter, what's up? Like, man, I didn't even know I had it in me. I was like, whoa.
Don't you wish guys could fight like that? Like, meaning a guy literally cannot fight in the city without and go to Kitchen 24 after. You gotta be concerned, like, okay, these niggas is gonna show up at Kitchen 24.
Hilarious, but that's
like,
true.
Guys can't fight. Like, listen, it gotta be something serious issued.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
He pushed my kid and I gotta go see him or his daddy because these niggas went that, but like, guy fighting is like, yo, like she said at UFC, like, oh, it was blood flying everywhere. Yeah. I thought they was trying to kill each other.
Uh-huh.
And that ain't even a street fight.
Yeah.
Then you can't go to Kitchen 24. You better go hide out for like a couple months.
One thing about Daniel Giovanni Watson, I can fight,
bro.
I ain't had no daddy, so I'm mad about a lot of shit.
Bro, that's the scariest part. You can fight, so that means you're going to beat a nigga up.
Right.
And he going to have that little thing in his chest. So it's like, man, hold up. Don't you got a gun at the crib? Look at that shit, bro. Let me get that shit, bro. I gotta go see this nigga. Damn, man, go see that nigga, bro.
And that's how kids become a kid.
That's how it happened, bro.
Because then people react out of emotion.
Right.
And the reason why I do not fight, because I have a real bad anger problem. It's so bad. Like, I have two cases because of my anger. And I know if I get hitting my face with these green eyes and I'm a working actor, somebody got to
feel this wrath,
and now I'm in prison. So look,
there's no
message
time.
To the kids, look, don't fight it out,
don't fight,
write it out,
or have some homies with you that's gonna tell you, man,
you don't
relax,
need this.
Bro,
exactly.
Like, if I say, Gio, man, don't you got a gun in the house, he'd be like, probably, but why? What are you about to do with this? I'm not about to loan you my gun. What are you talking about?
No, I'm good on that.
I don't even remember what the girl looked like.
Yeah, it don't matter. It's like
so fast.
It was moving on because, you know what? I'd rather say there they go than there they lay.
Mm-hmm.
Moving on. Ohio Haunted House receives backlash for allegedly including a mock rape. An Ohio Haunted House allegedly included a mock rape where they grabbed haunted house goers and faked raped them.
Yes.
A woman claims she and her boyfriend were walking through when a masked man grabbed her boyfriend and shoved him on the bed, holding him down. She says a tall man who looked like Leatherface was pushing him down the bed. I heard him clunk, whatever that meant. So I said, that's my boyfriend, please stop. Reportedly, the masked man continued to hold him down and replied, he's not your boyfriend anymore. I'm going to rape him.
Hey.
Oh, my God.
The park released their own statement claiming all activities are safe and professional. The question is, do you like haunted houses? How far is too far when the haunted houses are trying to scare you or rape you at this point?
Gay ghost? Like, what's going on?
I think that was perfectly fine.
Listen,
man.
That's not cool.
Let me say, I went to a haunted house the other day and what, nothing scary about these people jumping out and being like,
they didn't touch me though.
Yes, have you ever heard about the 17th door?
Yes, I don't like that one.
They can touch you.
I don't like
that
one. Basically, 17th door is pretty much you can go in there and you got to sign a release form because they can grab you, they can touch you, they will push you.
Yeah.
And all these things happen and you can't hit them back because it's all a part of their act. But it's not like you going to walk through a haunted house and somebody can be like, ha! And you're like, ah, goddamn! No, this is a
I'm
real
not trying
thing.
To be forced down and act like I'm getting raped,
bro,
by Leatherface.
Dude, let me tell you something.
That's not cool. I'm gonna punch you in the face.
Ain't nothing scary about you throwing his fucking glove. If somebody was stronger and big enough to push me down and be like, I'm gonna rape you, I'd be like, oh my God, I'm really scared. Please don't do that. Please don't do that, Mr. Gentleman. Please.
So live in the moment, basically.
Please just.
Like, I mean,
like, it's gotta be scary. Ain't nothing.
The brother said, he's not your boyfriend anymore.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's fighting words.
Was,
like, wait.
Nah, he was really in character, bro. He was really in his Conor McGregor. That's the reason why he got the L.
I've never been to a really. I've never really been to like a really scary haunted house. Like, I've always wanted to do one that's like, yo, that shit.
Yeah, that shit got me.
So the 17th door,
you gotta go there.
17th door is really scary. Queen Mary is really scary. You go to one of them.
Well, I went to Universal. It was like,
Universal was like kids, the kiddie area.
Well, I heard allegedly Queen Mary is really haunted. So
yeah, well, you try it out.
I've been there too. It's, I like that one.
It's intense. And, oh, and you go through all of the,
but 17 doors
is like the highest one.
Yeah, you gotta
that's
there.
That's scariest.
Okay, like, does it look realistic or is it corny?
Yes.
They gonna
they
grab
have, like,
you up.
Roaches, like, big bugs. Like, they have a room. Yeah, it's crazy.
Oh,
like,
somebody had a budget.
It's intense. Yeah. It's gonna all cost right. you.
Well, we need to do that together in the style.
They have, like, when you, like, jump through this thing and you get stuck and it's crazy.
We should go. You can hold on to me. I got you.
Man, I ain't going back there. Right. I already said I'm good.
You see, I tried
it was too much.
I was about to say, don't try to overlook that date invite.
Going. You heard me try to slot it in there?
No, I'm not going back.
Moving on, man. Listen, Amy Winehouse. We all know and love Amy. I used to love Amy. I thought she was so damn fine. I know. She's a beast. Amy Winehouse family signs a deal to make a biopic. The family Amy Winehouse has signed a deal to make a biopic on the late singer's life and death. Winehouse's life story will be adapted by Kinky Boots writer Jeff Dean, and shooting is due to start in 2019. Proceeds from the film will benefit the Amy Winehouse Foundation. So he says he wants an unknown young English London Cockney actress who looks a bit like Amy. What do you feel about this? Do you think she deserves a movie?
She already had a movie, first of all.
She did?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't
and, it was,
that.
And it was called Amy, and it was done incredibly.
Was it theater release?
Yeah, I saw it in a theater. Really? And it was like, okay, the whole movie, this is why it was so dope to me. The whole movie was like her personal camera recording thing. So she just had her phone like, yep.
So
and
this
it was
all
like
hers.
Actually filming, and it was all her.
Like, so it was like a docu. It was probably a
it was like a docu-series type of thing. But
it's not really a movie. It's a docu-
it was in the movie theater, and I saw it there at the movie theater. Hey, man.
It's like the Biggie and Tupac documentary.
Yeah, it was, but it was better
than all
of that.
They came out with Biggie and a Tupac movie.
Because it was, it had all of her like studio sessions, her boyfriend, her like,
that's
actual,
rare.
Her real life.
You know what's so crazy? When they always have a lot of footage like that.
Yeah.
It's like, how can I say this? It's almost like it was almost expected in the universe that this
right.
was going to happen to this
right,
person. So
crazy.
Let's document all everything. Of this. Like even with Lisa Left Eye, when she passed, she was recording.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She recorded her own death, bro.
Yeah,
that's crazy to me.
She's crazy.
I mean, and with this film, it's different because they're actually hiring a cast. It's not a docuseries. People have to go and audition and play Amy. Right. Actually, I'm going to try to get in this shit.
I'm about to say, she said, he said, yeah, we want somebody that's from England that kind of look like Amy. Every movie is like, man, if we were doing a movie on Gio, we'd be like, yeah, we want somebody that look kind of like Gio. What
you
the fuck?
You got to get somebody that look kind of like the person.
So he's saying like obvious right. shit in the fucking write-up. Like, yeah, you know, the director looking for somebody that look like Amy. For real?
Who was your favorite? What was your favorite biopic movie that you've seen?
I'm gonna have to go with, you know what? I'm gonna have to go with New Edition.
Okay.
Bobby Brown.
Bobby Brown had me like,
this one,
that should have been on Lifetime.
Yeah.
Really? Oh, yeah. It was some of that. I think the acting all was great, but it's some of that casting choices.
Well, not only the acting was great, but the casting choices was interesting. But my issue with it was they weren't going, like, it wasn't a story to be told. So I would be like, yep, today Bobby went on, he had a show, and then the next day Bobby got married. Like, what the right. fuck happened with this? And then next thing, Bobby Christina was 19 years old. Like, God damn.
Yo, old girl from Power looked just like Bobby
Christina.
She do Christina.
Look like yeah. her, but I'm saying, like, it was just skipping so much shit. I understand they it's had hard, to make
yeah,
it make sense within an hour and a half.
That's a lot of cocaine to compact
so
into, t- into 2 days.
Pick one part of the story and tell that part of the story.
I think the best well-done biopic that's ever been done in the history of doneness
mm-hmm.
is The American Dream.
Damn. What's his name?
The Michael Jackson one.
Oh, yeah,
six,
that was
the
really
6 hour long joint.
Yeah.
That was
6 hours long in
New
one day.
The was intense.
Oh, The Temptations was good too.
Hey, I like that. Yeah. I ain't gonna be. Another one that let me down was Tupac. I really thought
the one
Tupac
with my with Demetrius Shipp.
There were so
Tupac?
Many of. Well, Demetrius was. He looked so much like Tupac that it. That was pretty much the seller for me. It really didn't matter. But I'm saying like. Even with that movie, I felt like it was kind of skipping things. And the problem with and the hardest part of that is everybody knew Pac
mm-hmm.
from their fan perspective. So there was parts that they wanted to see, like, oh, what happened to this? What about this? And then it just skipped, you know.
Well,
so
if
it's
you
the
watched
same
the
thing.
Unsolved series,
I like that one.
I did.
The people said that that was very
that
well
was better
executed.
That was way better.
It's very close.
Yeah.
Hold up. The best biopic. I'm sorry that I didn't mention this. O.J. Simpson, The People versus
that one was
O.J.
good.
You right.
I forgot about that.
That was incredible.
That was really good.
The People versus O.J. was intense. I recorded the whole thing.
Cuba did his thing.
He did his thing.
I'm trying to think, man. Who can I play, man? I could probably play like Colin Powell or some shit.
Yeah, you could probably.
Because I want
Terrence Howard.
You can play,
man,
Terrence Howard.
It's going to be a minute before a Terrence Howard biopic.
Yeah. Damn. You could probably play, you know, Smokey
Robinson.
Yeah.
I could play
you
Smokey.
You can do Smokey, bro. He already got the green eyes.
Damn. Well, his guys, the glaucoma, they turned to green.
Oh, my God.
They're gray now.
Bro, hey. Why? All I know is the glaucoma done turned them.
Glaucoma, you know, the glaucoma make it look like you got colored eyes.
Man, well, shit.
Right now.
Bro, you could do it. I think you could do Smokey Robinson or Lionel Richie or something like that.
One of these light skinned old
players.
I wanted to play Thurgood Marshall, but fucking they gave it to Chadwick Boseman.
Dark
Black Panther. Yeah, I was like,
Chadwick ain't light enough. Yeah. To play
Speaking
Thurgood.
Of, you know, they just casted The Rock to play John Henry, and everybody is going crazy over the casting because they don't think he's dark or black enough. One of the original John Henrys was Danny Glover, who is dark.
Yes.
But The Rock is, you know, saying he's black.
Well,
he's black enough.
Well, here's the thing: anybody mixed with black, they say they identify with black. So I done seen people that I would readily visually not say, oh, it's a black guy, but they identify with it. So they be like, yeah, man, fuck that, nigga. My auntie is black, so I'm black. Fuck that. What you talking about?
No, you're not black, bro.
Hey, why not? Why? Because you can't see it.
What is he? He's Polynesian. What is he? Jurassic?
I don't even know what The Rock is.
It's like 25%
Samoan. I think that's a little black.
Hey, man.
Got you.
Hey, man.
Well, I've seen the picture of John Henry, the Disney. It's a Disney movie, and he could do it.
Let that man.
He looked just
man.
Like him. He's one of the highest paid, most hottest actors out right now.
I say let that man be black if he wanted to be. Just like I said the same thing about Rachel Dolezal. Let that woman be black if she want to be black. She want to lead the NAACP. Why y'all mad? All
right, don't get mad at the damn thing.
Let the girl be black if she want to.
Prince, speaking of black, Prince Harry and the kingdom. What's the kingdom over there? What's the royal palace?
I'm looking around like
not the Kingdom Hall.
The Kingdom Hall.
They are expecting a black baby, half baby, mixed baby. Prince Harry and Meghan Markle are expecting their first child. The Kensington Palace made the big announcement Monday morning through social media and said the baby would be due in spring of 2019. Meghan's mother, Doria Ragland, says she is very happy about this lovely news, and she's looking forward to welcoming her first grandchild. That baby,
bro, it's no words to speak on how I would feel if I was going to be the royal baby.
Yo,
oh my God.
The royal, the first.
Oh,
you ain't going to be able to tell that baby shit.
You can't tell that. First of all, who are you to speak to me? I am royal. Get your ass out. I ain't royal. And we all think Assad is royal. He is. But he ain't the royal baby. The
mother. Right. Oh my God.
That's
probably the closest
crazy
thing to it.
Are they having a boy or girl?
They probably having a mix. Fuck, it don't even matter because they having a anything they have is royal.
What would you do if you were in line to be the next king or queen of England? Or what would be your royal baby name that you would name your baby?
Mine
would be Your Highness.
My royal baby would be some ghetto shit. My royal baby would probably be named Felony.
What? Oh my God.
Hey, cause you know he can't get pulled up on charges for nothing.
Oh,
so you be like, hey, yo, Felony.
Felony?
Fucking right.
But you know,
probably
black
king.
King?
Yeah.
The name King?
Yeah.
He already
kingdom,
gonna be king.
Kingdom.
He gonna be like, hey, yo, King, King.
Well, I mean, I don't
when
know.
When your husband pass or let him take over the shit, he gonna be king.
King
it's
kingdom.
Gonna be King, King.
Hey, kingdom, yo, King. King.
I seen you with an African kingdom. Prince before.
Wait, what? What this got to do with me?
Because we're talking about being in.
Wait, who?
I don't know. It was at Hollywood Hookah, and he looked real African. Like, he was asking you how many goats would it take.
Oh, my God. Wait, what? what?
How many goats would it take to get to the
I don't think he was African.
Oh, he looked like a prince, though.
Wait, what did he
look like? Royalty.
I've been Hollywood hookah so many times with so many people. Not, I mean, not guys, but like friends. You probably thought it was somebody like it wasn't nothing like that. I have a lot of friends.
All good.
I don't even date people out here.
Good, not yet. Oh, Lord. Moving on. LeBron James. Speaking of kings,
LeBron
King James says his sons are so mature he lets them drink wine. LeBron James was asked about his time playing with his younger players when the reporter alluded that the fact that his two oldest kids watch the same shows as his teammates. LeBron's response is, I got very mature 14, 11-year-olds. My 14, 11-year-olds drink wine. Yeah, that's how mature they are. They'll be driving next week, too. The reporter followed up by what type of wine they consume, which prompted LeBron to say, whatever dad and mom's having, put it on me, though. Don't put it on mom's. Put it on dad. Question, how old were you when you started drinking, and do you see a problem with children doing adult things as long as they're under adult supervision? I will start this off by saying,
Yeah.
You have your daughter. How's your daughter? 16?
Well, my daughter's mother. Yeah, my daughter's mother don't watch the show. I let my daughter drink when she's with me. I let her drink.
How did she's 16, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I let her drink with me. I let her because I have to remind myself what I was doing at her age.
Right. Mm-hmm.
At her age, I was about to have her. That was I was out there fucking. You know what I'm saying? So I let my daughter drink. I let her puff a little bit because I was doing
puff
it.
Puff too?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, see, here's the thing.
Because she's going to do it regardless. If I tell her not to or whatever, she's going to do it regardless.
Okay, did you introduce her to it? Or?
Absolutely not. But here's the thing. When parents find out certain things like, oh, you've been drinking. Okay, well, let's have a conversation about alcohol. Right. Oh, you smoking. Well, if you're not going to be with daddy all the time, let me sit you down and educate you on how weed is supposed to feel, how it's supposed to taste, smell, look. Don't smoke it if you didn't roll it. So, right. Yeah, it's just those adult conversations. Mm-hmm. And I'm a parent, so that's just my answer. Well, what about you, Jado?
Well, I'm a rare one. I still don't drink. So my age of being introduced to drinking was still never the time. But
you never drank?
Mm-mm. Oh,
you've never drank in your life?
I've like tasted shit all the time, but I never had like.
You've never been drunk?
I never been to the bar and like, yo, let me get a cognac.
Wow.
And I'm like, nah.
But you look like a nigga that'll drink though.
I know. I look like a nigga that'll do a lot of shit. The police said the same thing to me yesterday. You look just like the motherfucker that stole that shit.
Oh my God. You just got that look. And the thing about Jado is so cold. When he's hosting clubs, he'll come out, have a shit ton of people, and they'll give him a shit ton of bottles. And he has this illusion of making it look like he's drinking alcohol. Man.
You gotta learn how to do that. You have to learn because people, there's like an unwritten rule that people that drink want you to drink with them. They can't be drunk by themselves. So when motherfuckers is drinking, you gotta learn. Everybody's gonna, when they pass the shots out, come on, everybody, come on. Everybody's gonna put their head up in 3 seconds. So you gotta be ready to dump or pass. Dump or pass. And if you don't want to, if you don't want to waste your alcohol, you can just not try to force me to take a shot. That'll work too.
Yeah.
If you really want to force me, like to go with y'all, then I'll just dump it.
Stassi, how old were you when you started first drinking?
I probably was 18.
Oh, you're responsible.
Yeah, I'm very responsible. I don't really like to get drunk.
Still before 21. Fuck you mean responsible?
That's true. Do you don't? No, you drank.
Well, yeah, but I didn't like. I think I smoked weed when I was younger more than a drink. But now I drink more. But back then it was like more weed.
I drink a lot, man.
But I hate weed now.
I hate weed now too.
Yeah, I hate it.
I do.
Really?
Makes me sleepy.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I had a bad experience once. I was back home in Gary, Indiana. Shout out to GI. And at this time, I was like probably like 20 something. And I was out here back and forth, and I had just started smoking weed, and I fell in love. I was like, damn, this weed shit is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I was smoking 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 blunts a day with homies and shit. I'm go back home. I mean, I known I shouldn't ask her. I asked my baby mama. Yo, where can I get some weed? She's like, oh, I got you. Man, she brought me back this weed that looked like goddamn dandelions and weeds. And at the time, I didn't know. This is why I tell you it's very important for me to have a conversation with my daughter about how the education of weed.
Mm-hmm.
At this time, I didn't know. I smoked that shit. And I don't know why I was smoking. I don't know why I was smoking. And I was prompted. It was like, let me start doing some push-ups. Just out of nowhere. I started doing push-ups.
That's what we do.
I felt something in my chest. I was like, that don't feel right. And then my shit was just.
Oh, shit.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No. Wait, let me do some more push-ups. No. My heart be doing.
No, this was the first time I started praying in tongues.
The first time.
Oh my god.
Oh shit.
And I had just not lost my mom too much before that.
Oh yeah. So it
was. And yeah, I was started praying in tongues. I was like, what?
Damn.
And then I went to the hospital. Then it was they had call-ins of laced marijuana with cocaine.
Shit, what? Man.
And I ain't never smoked since.
Yeah, no.
Shit, man. What, I was you just paranoid. Don't smoke no fucking Indiana weed. You gotta yeah. come to LA.
Have you tried the Cali weed?
Also, you gotta go to, like, at this point, there's no point in even getting weed from, like, the weed man. You go yeah. to a dispensary. You don't even need
well,
fucking.
Back then, this was, like, super illegal. And,
yeah,
you know,
like, at this point, yeah. you can just walk into
I had a bad LA experience,
like,
too.
Yeah, let me just get the motherfucking orgasm mixed with the.
Yeah, no, I had some LA weed one day. I parked my shit in traffic and got out the car. And banged on a car in front of me to call an ambulance.
What? Yeah, what? You don't need to smoke.
Yeah, y'all smoke. Weed is over for you.
I'm just paranoid. I'm like, wait, is they following us?
Oh yeah. My god,
is weed. That girl that I beat her ass coming back to get?
Yeah, like, you like, wait,
that
wrong?
Bitch came to get revenge. Let me knock on the car in front of me. Hey, bro. Do you remember how you even asked? How you prompt somebody to call the ambulance?
I don't remember. Right. I don't remember being. Hey, bro. I was scared of shit.
You need life alert.
Oh, wow. You definitely need life alert.
I was scared. That's why I don't smoke weed. I drink. I'm like Craig from Martin.
Shit.
I mean, from Friday. I drink.
Craig from Martin.
Yeah. J-Do, bro, I know you cook up in the studio, man. You're one of my favorite lyricists, man. But do you, like, cook?
I actually cook every week because, I got a seven-year-old. So uh-huh. I be trying to make sure he don't have to eat out every day. So we be trying to, you know.
Oh, well, you a better father than me.
I be trying to step up at the house.
My daughter on an all McDonald's diet.
You're right, yeah. See,
no, but I'm gonna tell
you. If he had it his way, it would be. You
know. I know. HelloFresh is a meal kit delivery service that shops, plans, delivers step-by-step recipes with pre-measured ingredients so you can just cook it and be on the way.
I love it.
You know, like I say, I can't cook, so it comes with easy step-by-step recipes, and it's easy to understand. I don't have to go to Google and do all this how-to, and it's easy right off the box. You got three plans to choose from. That's classic, veggie, and family. Each box is made up of fresh, responsibly obtained ingredients from carefully selected farms and high-rated, trusted sources.
Mm.
All right, you need to look forward to your HelloFresh delivery, knowing dinner just got much easier, especially for a single dad like me. Single dad like yourself.
Single dad
there.
Like myself.
Uh-huh. All ingredients come pre-measured in a handy labeled meal kit, so you know which ingredients go with which recipe. That's easy, all right? Also, you can spend less time meal planning. It's right at your box. It's like pretty much you're getting like six free meals. Or like 50%, like
I'm not, hold up.
It's up to 50% of three boxes, or it's like three free meals. You got to think about that. Would you much rather go out and spend money at Mastro's or Cheesecake Factory? You need to get out that recipe rut and start cooking outside of your comfort zone by discovering new delicious recipes in each week's box.
Mm.
All right, listen, get delicious filling meals delivered right to your door every week for less than $10 per serving and free shipping. So people that's watching this, Hollywood Unlocked, Uncensored viewers, we want to go ahead and get some HelloFresh up into your life. All right? For $60 off, that's $20 off your first three boxes, visit HelloFresh.com/unlocked and enter unlocked, okay? Listen again. For a total of $60 off, that's $20 off your first three boxes, visit HelloFresh.com/unlocked and enter unlocked. All right? Let's get it. And we're back. Something my dad never done.
Yeah.
All right. Oh my God. That was true, real shit. It's funny. I really don't know. Look, I don't know my father's name.
What?
I don't know what he looks like.
Damn.
At all. Oh my God. At all.
Oh, that's real.
At all, bro.
You had a real experience.
Real experience. Like I don't even know if he's dead. I don't know if he's alive.
Yeah.
I asked my grandma, I was like, grandma, what's my dad's name? She was like, I know his name. I was like, where's he at? She said, I don't know.
That's the same. My grandfather was like that. My grandfather. But I just found out this year or the year before that my grandfather, because my mom didn't even know him. My grandfather was murdered when my mom was like 3 months old.
Oh my God.
Fucking with the neighbor's girlfriend, and the neighbor slit his throat.
Oh, that was a person.
Bro. But I'm like, but all I got is a oil painting of this nigga. And I'm like, damn, I look like I might be mixed with Chinese after when I seen the picture, because my grandfather looked like he was 100% Asian. Like, bro, the oil painting, at least, I was like, damn, this nigga, I definitely need to go to Hong Kong to figure out my roots.
Well, speaking about fatherless parents and fathers and shit, Drake discussed his surprise pregnancy and being a single father with baby Adonis. Drake has finally opened up about being a father to his infant son Adonis. the rapper stopped by LeBron James' new HBO show, The Shop, where he discussed the birth of his son Adonis with French adult film star Sophie Brussex, whatever her name is. The Toronto rapper admitted that the unplanned pregnancy shocked his entire family. Before I talk about this, I would just like to say, I used to jack off to her, bro.
What?
Yeah.
I never heard of this before.
She's not a porn star. She's just one of those chicks that will upload videos like in the shower and G-strings, baby oil and shit, twerking.
That's how she got her.
And yeah, wow. Rose or something. That's like her friend, her screen name. Drake has a baby, man. I would have never known.
Wow.
Drake was watching the videos like, God damn. Bro.
Well, you know, me and him got the same taste. We like ass. We like big butts.
Yeah, I can.
And I like pogs too. You know what a pog is?
Nah.
Fat ass white girl.
Oh, I don't know nothing about that.
How you spell that?
When I hear
pog, P-A-W-G.
Oh, see, only pog I know of is when you used to have the slammer and you used to like slam it on top of the pogs and then whenever one flipped over, you get the. Okay.
So the thing is, I mean, when Drake had his baby, and all this time, I feel like he was in the baby's life. Do you feel like he kept the baby away from the world, or like you say, he was trying to keep the world away from his son?
That was the wildest.
I think he was trying to keep the world away from his son.
Man, that shit was one of the wildest things I've ever. Do you think your last boyfriend was trying to keep the world away from you, and he was trying to keep you? And like, listen, baby, hold on. I ain't keeping you a secret. I'm keeping the world a secret. What are you talking about?
I thought the baby's
name. If that shit worked, then we need to start dating.
Oh my God.
I thought the baby's name was my bad.
No, man, that baby is name. First of all, let's take a few steps back. What can classify you as a single parent? Because if this nigga ain't never even seen the baby, how are you a single daddy?
Right. I'm sure he's seen the baby. Has he not seen the baby? He's seen the baby.
From my understanding, the boy ain't seen the baby.
What?
And single parent.
She's the single
me.
Parent then.
She the single parent. He the Debbie.
Yeah. Drake's always the victim in all his little situations.
I know. He like, it's just because he rap. If Oh Baby started rapping, we would all be on her side too.
Yeah.
She'd have at least a half of people on her side.
Well, Drake said he was scared to tell his mom.
Man.
He said he was scared to tell his mom because she had a real belief in real relationships with women in his life, like over the course of his years. So it was tough for him to tell her that somebody that she's never met had his baby.
That's why you need to be just like me with my mama.
What's that?
Rolling Stone. My mama done met all these hoes. Don't none of them matter. My mama don't never know. These bitches be thinking it means something when they meet my mama. My mama just be like, shit, I met 95 bitches this year. I don't know.
What was the
95?
That's an exaggeration, but I'm just saying.
It's really 195.
The point is, like, my mama's met every woman I've dated over my lifetime. So it's never this. Right. So it
just
never
in case
really,
if, somebody
not,
pop
not just
because
I need to
are.
Between my mom and I, we don't. It's not that deep. It's deep for the woman. Like, oh, I met his mama today. Shit, I'm in there. Mm-hmm. And my mom was like, "Bitch, if you knew, I met another girl 3 months ago."
Yeah, my mother wasn't in my. Damn, my life was fucked up. My mother was in and out of my life.
I'm not laughing.
But those are the people that really, like, you know, make something out of life.
My grandmother met all my girls, like my ex fiance. And that's the only one my grandma's ever met. Shit. And my daughter. I'm very, very, very strict like that. My daughter meets no girls. And if you do get to meet my daughter, she get to tell me, "Dad, don't fuck with her." Just like that.
Oh. Damn.
What was the hardest thing you ever had to tell your parents?
The hardest thing, probably like leaving. I mean, my dad passed away when I was 13. So when I left, I'm from Bakersfield. I've been in LA. I left to LA. So when I left with like $300 and I had my own room. And I was like, "Mom, I'm leaving." She was like, "Really?" And she started crying. And that's the first time I ever seen my mom break down because my mom never even.
Damn.
I used to think my mom didn't care about me until that day.
Wow.
But I was dealing with somebody and they were like into some game banging stuff. And I was like, I don't want to be around.
Oh, there's no time.
I'm out of here.
So you got tired of that gang banging dick.
Yeah,
that gang banging shit was different.
I got shot at and everything. I was like, I'm cool. I'm out.
What if my homegirls got killed like that back in the G?
Yeah, it was bad.
They was shooting at her nigga and got her in the car.
I got.
And then he survived and then a few months later they got him.
Wow.
Her name was Monique. She used to sit in front of me at Westside High School in class and coach class. Yeah. Rest in peace. What about you? Was the hardest thing you told your mom?
The hardest thing I told my mom is relax. God damn. Like, all right, so here's the thing. My grandmother passed like a year ago. My sister been moved to New York when she graduated high school. She been gone. But my mom was taking care of my grandmother. And so basically when my grandmother passed, my sister gone, my father passed when I was like 9. So my mom didn't have nothing to do. And she was like coming over like every day. And like, she'd be like, yo, you need something? You want me to cook? You want me to clean up? You want me? I'm like, yo. The first time she offered, I'm like, oh, hell yeah, I need everything. What do you mean? And then the next thing you know, shit, like 4 days later, I was like, oh, shit. If I don't tell my mama to stop, I'm never going to meet a woman that's going to eventually start, you know, she can't never take her role because my mama's still doing all this shit. So I had to eventually tell my mama, yo, you gotta relax. Like, this is wild. You got to live. Go do whatever else is, you know, going to take your time.
Tell mama, go get a man. Mama,
it was tough. But see, my mama, she finds her whole life in my kid. Mm-hmm. She just want to shower that boy with gifts and time.
Yeah.
And that's cool, but it's a lot. So I had to tell my mama to relax like 2 years ago.
Good.
Like, yo, bro.
I think
this is a lot.
I think shit, I wish I had a mama to tell to relax too.
I know. That was the hardest part because yeah. I was like, man, I know a lot of people would want their mom to be involved in their life this much. But see, it was a lot for me because it was right after my grandmother passed. So I know she didn't have a lot to do as much as she used to. Mm-hmm. So she used to kind of fill that space with me. And I didn't want to give her a tough life that I have to go through it. But I just was like, you know what? I can't do this. This is a lot, yo.
Right.
Every day.
Yeah. Well, I don't think I had to really tell my grandmother anything. I think it was an action that was hard. That's when I got locked up. Mm. It almost broke her. And my grandma's strong. Mm. Like, when my mother passed away, my grandma, I was calling home back to back 3 days, and she never picked up. And my grandma finally picked up. Mind you, I'm about to go on stage and dance for Marion at the time. Mm-hmm. And she's like, baby, your mother's gone. I'm like, what? I'm breaking down, whatever. Long story short, I say all that to say how strong my grandmother is because she dressed my mother, did her makeup. And to that day, I never, ever, ever seen her cry about her daughter. Mm. But when I got locked up, she broke down. Like, I don't know why she broke down for me getting locked up, but maybe she grieved in her own time about my mom, her daughter, but I never even seen her be weak for that. So I think that was the hardest thing, not for me to tell her, but it was the hardest thing for me to see
her go through.
Yeah. You know, because my grandma's my everything. That's my mom, my dad. Mm-hmm. She's my brother, my sister, my best friend. We used to play dice. We used to do drive-bys on niggas. Wow. The other people in the convalescent homes that she didn't like, we used to bang a
grandma
fight.
OG.
Yeah, that's my G.
Shit, see, my grandma wasn't like that. My grandma didn't like me at all. I remember being like 9 years old. You know, when you get, I was tall for a 9 year old. And one of those aunties that you don't remember her name walked in. It was like, oh my God, I ain't seen you in forever. Boy, you tall. You about to be taking care of your mama. And in no time, my grandma responded, oh, that boy ain't going to be taking care of shit. If anything, going to be taking care of his sister, going to be taking care of this nigga, ain't taking care of nothing. Sit your ass down.
Where your grandma from?
Nigga, my grandma is from Indio, from like out top, like Palm Springs area.
Indio?
Right.
Who's from there?
Don't nothing but mean people live in Indio.
That sounds like some shit you catch on your feet.
Bro,
sorry to tell you, so
that boy ain't gonna take ass shit. I got a fucking water gun. Give me that damn gun. Don't you know people getting killed in LA running around with? Oh. And it was like 90. Like,
shit, nah, I'm still like, today. Man.
Well, now it's a lot different. I'm saying, but at that time, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
I couldn't have like nothing around my grandma.
What was her name?
Her name, my grandma's name is Crevotha.
What?
Okay, hold on. Let me give y'all some old ass names. Let me give y'all some old ass names. My grandma name is Crevotha. My aunt name is Elise, and the other one name is Refinest.
You a fucking lie.
Refinest. I'm about to fuck y'all up. Crevotha, Elise, Refinest. Refinest is named married to Ofri. Ofri.
What?
Okay. Listen, I got some old ass names in my family. All my family feel like they didn't never get slave traded. They still got the actual name that they came with.
Oh my god.
Ofri. Uncle Ofri and Aunt Refinus. Not the finest, but the refinest.
Wow.
This is like the remix to the finest.
Put the camera on me. With that said, we're going to close this damn show out. Thank y'all for watching Hollywood Locked Uncensored. Thank you so much, Stassi. Thank you so much, Jado. I want to thank the beautiful staff of Hollywood Unlocked. They would not, we not giving you this show if it wasn't for Adam, Rosalind, and Alyssa. They do an amazing job here. And we'll see you when we see you. I'm about to go get me some okra with Ofri.
Ofri.
Peace.